2 Kings 19, verses 8 through 37, these are God's words. Then the Rabshakeh turned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish, and the king heard concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, "Look, he has come out to make war with you." So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the people of Eden who are in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Eva?" And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of Yahweh and spread it before Yahweh. Then Hezekiah prayed before Yahweh and said, "O Yahweh, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, O Yahweh, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Yahweh, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Yahweh God, you alone." Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says Yahweh, God of Israel, as you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word which Yahweh has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have approached the Lord and said, by the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees. I will enter the extremity of its borders to its fruitful forest. I have dug and drunk strange water and the soles of my feet. With the soles of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of defense. Did you not hear long ago how I made it, from ancient times that I formed it, and now I have brought it to pass, that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins? Therefore their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as grass of the field, and the green herb as the grass on the housetops, and grain blighted before it is grown. But I know your dwelling place, your going out and your coming in, your rage against me. Because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose, my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself, in the second year what springs from the same. Also in the third year sow and reap. Plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. When the remnant who have escaped to the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward, for out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, those who escape from Zion. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this. Therefore thus says Yahweh concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says Yahweh. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of Yahweh went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, and returned home, and remained at Nineveh. And now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons Adramelech and Sharezer struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. And then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. That's why the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the Lord had already told Hezekiah by the word of Isaiah how this would turn out in the verse immediately preceding the section that we have today. It says, surely I will send a spirit upon him. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Sennacherib was on his way back to Assyria. His armies apparently were still in place. There are 185,000 of them that the angel of Yahweh kills. But Sennacherib was on his way to Libna, or was in Libna. He had heard a rumor about the king of Ethiopia coming up against him, and so the Rabshakeh doesn't find Sennacherib in Lachish. He has to go to Libna to find him. It's exactly what verse 7 has already said. So the first half of verse 7 has already come true. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor. Now Sennacherib is concerned that his departure is going to be interpreted as weakness by the king of Judah. And so he sends his messenger, the Rabshakeh, to tell him, don't think that your God is delivering you. Even though Sennacherib doesn't know that Isaiah has already told Hezekiah from Yahweh exactly how he was going to deliver him, and it was coming true. And he blasphemes the Lord one more time. He lists a bunch of the nations that he and his fathers have destroyed. And he says that the gods of the nations, verse 12, have not delivered them. And he implies that Yahweh is just like any one of the other gods of the nations. Hezekiah here is not necessarily backsliding, but he should respond in faith to the new development, the new words that have been spoken by the Rabshakeh. And one of the indications that he is responding in faith is that this time he doesn't send to Isaiah, as he did in verse 4, and say, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. But he himself goes up to the temple, and he lays everything out, and he prays. He himself prays. It is important that you learn to know God yourself. Yes. Ask those who have been assigned to pray for you to pray for you. Ask your dad and your mom especially. Ask the elders of the church to pray for you. Ask other people in the church to pray for you. But you pray for yourself, and you know God. And one of the ways that the Lord already encourages Hezekiah is, as Hezekiah is coming and he is going to pray about what Sennacherib has said, particularly that Yahweh is like all of the other gods of the nations, Hezekiah begins by remembering whom it is that he is addressing. And what a great help to us in all praying adoration is. There's no situation, there's no attack, there's no difficulty, there's no pain, no worry, that does not have as its answer who God is. And so listen to the introduction of Hezekiah's prayer as he's about to pray the difference between Yahweh and these gods of the nations, that the Assyrian king was right about them, who are not gods, for they are the works of men's hands. And you can hear, can't you, the connection between that and our memory verse this week, the Lord Jesus is God, but these things made with hands, they are not God. Listen to the introduction of this prayer. O Yahweh, okay, the self-existent God, the I am who I am, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, is not dependent upon anything, does not need anything, and who introduced himself especially by that memorial name when he was destroying Egypt, who were as strong in their day as Assyria is in this day. O Yahweh, God of Israel, the God who has identified himself with this people. Identified himself with this people so much that several times when they deserved his wrath and ought to have been entirely destroyed, for his own sake, and for his identification with them and connection to them, his covenant with them. He has spared them because they are his people and he is their God in that covenantal way. O Yahweh, God of Israel, who dwells between the cherubim, the God who has not just identified with his people, but has redeemed his people to have fellowship with him. And so he commanded the construction of the tabernacle, and he has given them now a temple. And at the heart of it is the dwelling of God with man, the God who has been redeeming for himself a people among whom he will dwell forever. So that one of the great climactic, ultimate declarations in the Bible of his praise is the dwelling place of God is with man. And very specifically in the tabernacle and the temple, he chooses the atonement cover, the lid of the Ark of the Testimony, which we call the mercy seat, and where the blood is put. And so he has made at the heart of his dwelling among us the knowledge of his atoning for our sin and his removing our guilt and his giving us his righteousness and his blessing us according to his merit and not ours. And of course, Christ now is that mercy seat. O Yahweh, God of Israel, the one who dwells before the cherubim, you are God and you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. He is God in Gozan, he is God in Haran, he is God in Rezeph, he is God in Telassar, he is God in Hamath, he is God in Arpad, he is God in Sepharvaim, he is God in Hena, he is God in Eva. Those nations don't actually have other gods. They worship other gods. But the one true and living God is God over all of them, and he is doing right all the time. So it's not like Sennacherib has been out of control and now he's going to come to Jerusalem and is Jerusalem going to hold up against him? No. Hezekiah is already recognizing something that's going to come out in Isaiah's answer, and that is God is in control of all of those things. Sennacherib didn't do those things by his power. Who does Sennacherib think he is? God sustained him in all of those things. Yeah, what is Putin or whoever the North Koreans are on, Kim Jong-un, is that the one they have right now? Or Xi in China or Biden in Washington? What are any of them able to do except what the Lord permits them to do as he lends them their breath so that even though they, being wicked, intend and do what is wicked, God has intended and is doing good because he is good. He is God over all the kingdoms of the earth. There are no others. In fact, not only is he God over the kingdoms of the earth, he has made the heavens and the earth. Tiny little earth. And we have no idea about the whole rest of the second heavens where dwell the sun and the moon and the stars, let alone the third heaven, the spiritual realm. And God is God over all of those things as well. Every place, every creature. You have made the heaven and the earth. And yet it is before the face of this God that a man can come and know, as he is out there in the outer courts of the temple, that God has made his presence to be known upon those cherubim in the Holy of Holies. That he is so physically near as he prays this prayer. And you, as you come to God, God has made his presence known to you in the Lord Jesus, in the help of his Spirit. His Spirit has come to dwell in you if you're a believer. And the Father, the Son have come and made their home with you. And you, being united to Christ, have been seated with him in the heavenly places. And so you have this close and intimate access to him who is Lord over all the earth and all the heavens, as if the earth was not enough. And he made the stars also here from Genesis 1. And this is the greatness of the one to whom we can come near, to whom we come near through the atonement that Christ has made. He hasn't even made a request yet, and his prayer is pretty much answered, isn't it? He's just adored God. Oh, that the Spirit would help us to pray in this way, that our prayers would start with such adoration of God as already answer the requests we're about to make. He affirms, he asks God to hear and see and hear. Hear, incline your ear, O Yahweh, and hear, open your eyes, O Yahweh, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. And he says, you know, Sennacherib said was true as far as it went, but he doesn't know the truth behind it. The kings of Assyria have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Yahweh, our God, I pray, save us from his hand. In other words, Sennacherib isn't a god either. His hand cannot produce something that is almighty. But the almighty God can save him. God answers Hezekiah. Note that he doesn't answer Hezekiah with an audible voice. He certainly could. But even before the Lord Jesus comes as our ultimate prophet, and the one who has recorded for us his word in the scriptures, he answers Hezekiah by the mouth of the prophet. Isaiah answers, and he gives him three songs. The first is a song which is about Sennacherib, and it's about little girls mocking him, who thought he was, you know, this great and mighty king, and was concerned that he might not be feared enough by Hezekiah. And the song that the Lord gives him, gives about him, says, oh, actually, in Zion, in Jerusalem, little girls laugh at you. Yes, you defeated the kings of all those other nations, but little girls who know Yahweh laugh at you. Makes you remember some of the stories of the young ladies among the covenanters and the messengers of the king who tried to intimidate them. And they were not afraid of them at all. They knew the King of Kings. They were not afraid even to go to him and to bring him honor by their deaths. And he tells him, you think that you, by the multitude of your chariots, etc., that you, with the soles of your feet, that you're such a big deal. And he says, you didn't hear it, you know, verse 25, long ago. The reason you didn't hear it is because he's like a couple of days old and God is everlasting. I made it. From ancient times I formed it, and now I have brought it to pass. He says, you weren't in on the decree, but let you in on a secret. The reason you were able to do that to all of those other nations was because I had ordained it. And guess what I have ordained now? I know where you live and where you go out and come in and rage against me. And I will put my hook in your nose and I'll bring you back. So that's song number one. The song of how dreadfully mistaken Sennacherib has been in interpreting what he's done so far. And that's why he's wrong about what's coming for him. Song number two is a song about what Judah is going to eat for the next year and a half. They had been too busy resisting the Assyrian siege to think about planting crops, but the Lord is going to make the land produce enough from itself to feed them. And not only is it going to produce enough to feed them, but it's going to produce enough seed by itself that they won't have to think about feeding themselves for the year to come. But they need to harvest the seed so that they can plant and harvest in the next year. You see, God is not just paying attention to the words of Sennacherib. That's what Hezekiah is saying. Pay attention to this dreadful situation that I'm in, O God. And we often come to God praying that way. And part of his answer is, well, pray this way. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. God pays attention to those things. He pays attention to the great big situations and the attacks upon his kingdom. But he also pays attention to what we need to eat every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Hezekiah wasn't thinking of that daily bread. He was thinking about surviving the Syrians. But God's answer was, I see it all. I have planned it all. I know how I'm going to take care of you. What a great comfort to have this little song about volunteer crops for two seasons in the midst of an answer to the king of Sennacherib. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this. And then one more song for the king of Assyria, that he won't be able to do a single thing because the Lord is going to defend those in whom he has invested his name, to whom he has promised his Christ, for my own sake and my servant David's sake. And so this is a great reminder to us never to give in to worry or anxiety. Because when we do, we start to agree with Sennacherib. Sennacherib says, I don't see how you can possibly be spared, Hezekiah. And when we worry and are anxious, we are saying, I don't see how I could possibly be spared. We must not treat our God as if he was made with hands. We must remember that he is the everlasting God who has ordained all things and invested his name in redeeming a people for himself, whom he brings near by atonement where he dwells upon the cherubim, and that we have his ear in prayer. And he's already ordained how he's going to do, how he's going to work everything for our good. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us not to be atheists as if you are like the gods of the nations who cannot do anything. Help us to remember that you are the one who has ruled and overruled in every situation, and that you will continue to do so for your own sake and for your servant David's sake, even great David's greater son, our Lord Jesus, through whom we ask that you would make us faithful in prayer, trusting you, confident in you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.